Welcome to A Cotter Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Today, we're diving deep into a true giant of American literature, Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird, an incredible book.
Absolutely monumental.
And our mission, really, is to unpack how Lee uses, well, what seems like a simple perspective, a child's viewpoint, to get at these incredibly deep, complex issues. Justice, prejudice, morality, all in the American South.
Mm-hmm. And the historical context is just so vital here. You have Nell Harper Lee growing up in Monroeville, Alabama,
right,
deep in the Jim Crow South. Her own father was a lawyer, which, you know, clearly informed Atticus Finch's character. It adds this this layer of authenticity, this weight.
And the timing, too. 1960, think about that. Right on the cusp of the major civil rights battle.
Yeah, it lands perfectly or perhaps imperfectly, depending on how you see it.
And boom, it wins the Pulitzer in 61. Instant classic. But at its heart, it's a Bildungsroman, right? A coming-of-age story.
Definitely. Set against this backdrop of, well, Southern Gothic decay in Hidden Truths.
So let's paint that picture. Macomb, Alabama.
Fictional, yes, but vividly real. A tired old town, as Lee calls it, struggling through the Great Depression in the 1930s.
And our eyes and ears belong to Jean-Louis Finch, Scout.
Scout, yeah. A wonderfully precocious, tomboyish six-year-old when the story starts. She lives with her older brother, Jem, and their father, Atticus Finch. He's a widower.
Or a respected lawyer.
A respected lawyer, yeah, in a town where the unspoken rules are often more powerful than the actual laws.
And the story really kicks off with something very childlike, doesn't it? This fascination, maybe even obsession.
With Boo Radley. Arthur Boo Radley, their mysterious, reclusive neighbor.
The neighborhood phantom.
Exactly. He's built up entirely by these wild local legends, madness, violence. He supposedly stabbed his father with scissors. The kid Scout, Jem, and their friend Dill, who visits in the summer, they spend all their time trying to lure him out.
Just pure childhood games and dares.
But what Lee does so cleverly is slowly reveal the truth behind the myth. You get these little hints of kindness.
The gifts in the knothole.
Yes. Gum, those polished pennies, the soap figures carved to look like Jem and Scout. Tiny gestures from someone clearly lonely, maybe damaged, but gentle, not a monster at all.
And that contrast, the scary myth versus the quiet reality, it sets up the novel's whole structure, really, because this childhood adventure runs right alongside something much darker.
Much darker. Atticus is appointed by the court to defend Tom Robinson.
A black man.
A kind, decent, hardworking black man. Falsely accused of raping Miella Yule, a young white woman from a very poor, notorious family.
And that's the moment, isn't it? The moment the children's world, their innocence, it just cracks over.
Irrevocably. They're suddenly exposed to the town's ugliest side, the raw prejudice.
So you have these two parallel tracks, the quest to understand Boo, the feared monster next door.
And the quest to understand the real monster. The systemic racism they witness building up around the trial. It's essentially the same lesson, right? Look beyond the surface, beyond the prejudice.
Which leads us straight to Atticus, the moral compass of the entire story.
He really is. And his motivation isn't heroic in a flashy way. It's simple, profound integrity, a commitment to justice, to reason, even when everyone's against him, even when he knows defeat is almost certain.
He knows he's facing scorn, isolation, but it doesn't matter. It makes you ask, what is real courage?
Well, Atticus defines it very specifically for Jem, doesn't he? Using Mrs. DeBose as the example.
Yes. The seemingly bitter old neighbor Jem has to read to as a punishment.
Right. But Atticus reveals her secret struggle. She was fighting a morphine addiction, determined to die free of it.
A hidden battle.
Exactly. And Atticus tells Jem, it's when you know you're licked before you begin, but you begin anyway, and you see it through no matter what. That's courage. It's not about winning, it's about the fight itself, the internal resolve.
And that lesson shapes Scout profoundly. She starts out, you know, ready to fight anyone who insults her father. Very reactive.
Full of childish indignation, yeah.
But Atticus keeps guiding her towards empathy. That famous line.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view. Until you climb into his skin and walk around in it.
It's the core message, delivered so simply. Her whole journey is learning that lesson, moving from defensiveness to understanding.
Jem's path is maybe harder. More visibly painful, he's older, more idealistic about fairness and justice.
He really believes the evidence will matter.
He does. And when the guilty verdict comes down, despite everything Atticus proved, it just shatters him. He becomes quite cynical for a while.
You see that disillusionment so clearly. but eventually.
Eventually, he absorbs Atticus's courage, too. That broken arm he gets later, during the attack. It's almost symbolic, isn't it? Broken idealism, but also the mark of bravery, protecting his sister.
Okay, let's talk about the trial itself. The tension leading up to it is immense. That scene outside the jail.
Oh, absolutely chilling. Atticus, sitting there alone, just reading under a lamp, facing down a lynch mob.
Ready to kill Tom Robinson right there.
The threat is so real. And then the children show up. Unexpectedly.
And Scout. She does something amazing without even realizing it.
Pure innocence cuts through the hate. She recognizes one of the men, Mr. Cunningham, Walter's father, and she just starts talking to him. About his son, about his entailment, simple human stuff.
Just a kid talking to a neighbor.
And it completely disarms him. He sees Atticus not as an enemy, but as a man. Maybe he even remembers his own humanity for a second. The mob just melts away, shamed by a child's directness.
It's an incredible moment. It shows how individuals can stand against the tide, sometimes just by being human.
And it sets the tone for the courtroom drama. Atticus is asking the jury to do the same thing, rise above the mob mentality, look at the facts.
And the facts are undeniable.
Completely.
Yeah.
Atticus methodically dismantles the prosecution's story. He shows Mayella was beaten by someone left-handed.
Which points directly to her father, Bob Ewell.
Exactly. And then the crucial point. Tom Robinson's left arm is useless. Mangled in a cotton gin accident years ago, he physically could not have inflicted those injuries.
The defense seems airtight, based purely on evidence.
It is. Tom's only crime, really, was feeling sorry for Mayella, a lonely white woman, breaking that rigid social taboo.
So the guilty verdict is just gut-wrenching.
Utterly. Despite Atticus proving Tom's innocence beyond any reasonable doubt, the all-white jury convicts him. It's Lee's most powerful indictment of how prejudice doesn't just influence justice. It completely overrides it, twists it into its opposite.
The system is rigged against innocence if that innocence belongs to a black man.
Precisely. But then you see the reaction from the black community in the balcony.
Standing in silent tribute as Atticus walks out.
That quiet dignity, that respect, it's so moving. And the food left at the Finch house the next day. But the legal system failed. Bob Ewell feels emboldened, even though he was exposed as a liar. He threatens revenge.
And Tom Robinson, he loses all hope.
Tragically, yes. Despairing, he tries to escape prison and is shot dead. 17 bullet holes, the report says. Just brutal overkill. It seals the theme. Innocence has no real defense in this world.
Which leads us to that terrifying climax.
Halloween night, dark. Jem and Scout are walking home alone after a school pageant.
And Bob Ewell makes his move.
He attacks them in the dark woods. It's chaotic, terrifying. Jem's arm is broken in the struggle, and then someone else is there.
Boo Radley.
Boo Radley. Emerging from years of seclusion, he fights off Ewell, saving the children. And in the struggle, Bob Ewell ends up dead with a kitchen knife under his ribs.
So Boo, the supposed monster, becomes the savior, but this creates a huge dilemma for Sheriff Tate.
A massive moral dilemma. He knows Boo acted to save the children, but putting Boo through a trial, the publicity of the town scrutiny, it would destroy this incredibly shy, vulnerable man.
It would be like dragging him from one prison into another.
Exactly. So Heck Tate makes a decision, a practical, maybe even merciful one, that bends the official truth.
He rules Ewell fell on his own knife.
Yes. He insists on it. He tells Atticus, dragging Boo into the limelight would be like shooting a mockingbird. Protecting the innocent, even if it means obscuring the precise facts.
And that connects everything back to the title, to the central symbol, which brings us to Scout's final realization.
The closing scene. She walks Boo Radley back to his house, just walks him home.
And she stands on his porch.
And for the first time, she looks out at her neighborhood, at Macomb, from his perspective. She finally truly understands Atticus's lesson about climbing into someone else's skin. She sees Boo not as a phantom, but as a person. A protector who watched over them all along.
It's the culmination of her journey to empathy.
Absolutely.
So wrapping up, the mockingbird symbol is key, isn't it? Tom and Boo.
They are the mockingbirds. Innocent beings harmed or threatened by cruelty, ignorance, prejudice. They only try to bring good Tom through his kindness, Boo through his quiet protection, and society tries to destroy them for it.
Lee shows us this town, Macomb, contains both profound goodness, Atticus, Calpurnia, Miss Maudie, Boo, and deep-seated corrosive evil.
And she suggests that real victory isn't always winning the fight, but maintaining your own integrity, your own moral compass, even when you lose, like Atticus did.
The way the story is told is also brilliant. Adult Scout looking back.
That retrospective voice is crucial. It blends the immediacy of childhood experience, the humor, the confusion, with the wisdom and sadness of adult reflection. You get both the child's world and the adult's understanding of its implications.
And those Southern Gothic elements, the creepy house, the secrets, the sense of decay, they add so much atmosphere.
They do. It creates this complex feeling, doesn't it? Warmth, nostalgia for childhood, but mixed with this simmering outrage at the injustice. It leaves you with these big questions.
Yeah, like how do we protect the vulnerable? How do we stand up against injustice in our own communities? What truly defines our character?
It really forces you to think about quiet heroism. Not grand gestures, necessarily, but that principled stand, that defense of what's right, even when it's unpopular or seems doomed.
And ultimately, that journey Scout takes, from judging based on fear and rumors to understanding through empathy. That feels like the most enduring lesson. It's a journey we all need to keep taking, really.
Couldn't agree more. That shift in perspective is everything.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.